And the issue we had here, the elders dealt with it. Bob and I individually dealt with it. And we discussed the issue face to face before anything's continued on. And yet they still continued on. So now I don't have to question the motive of the heart because the actions were louder than what they said. So I don't want to beat a horse dead, but brethren, be thankful you've got three men here who want to follow the truth. Three men talking about our three elders. You got three men here who want to stand for the truth. Now, that doesn't mean people's souls aren't important. Everybody's soul is important. But you've got to look at the welfare of the church as a whole. You can't. If we say, well, I don't want to upset anybody, well, then the next step is just to approve denominational error. Then someone comes and say, and they can be very cordial, very polite, and they say, well, I don't really believe baptism is necessary for salvation. And you sit down and talk to them and say, well, you know what? This is not true. Here's what Acts chapter 2 says. Here's Romans 6 says. Here's what Galatians 3 says. And yet they continue on permeating that idea. You got to take a stand against it. Now, maybe they didn't know that at first, so you sit down and study with them. I've discussed over the years with brethren who misuse the church treasury. The trouble is they didn't know any difference. But you sat down and study with them. Some come to their senses. Some do not. So again, I can't read the motive initially, but I can read the motive as the problem is exposed and you deal with it. It appears to me, according to this, there's a problem at Philippi, and that's these Judaizers. The church is going good, but if they allow nothing to happen, these Judaizers are going to do what? They're going to take over. So as we continue on, anybody else want to comment on that before we get to verse 3 and 4? All right, as you look at verse 3, and then he says, for we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, and I broke it down to three things. We are the circumcision, the true circumcision worships God in spirit. True circumcision rejoices in Christ. And the true circumcision is no confidence in the flesh. Because it's the circumcision of the heart, right? Now, it's interesting. You're going to study in Acts. You got Timothy and you got Titus. Paul had Timothy what?
Circumcised.
Why? Because it was necessary to be a Christian? No. Right. His mom was Jewish. His dad was not, so Timothy had access to the Jews. He went and had Timothy circumcised, so he still had access to teaching the Jews. However, what's so wonderful for us, you had Titus, who he refused to have circumcised because Titus had no Jewish blood. So had he had Titus circumcised, it would have caused great confusion. But he didn't have Titus circumcised. So the circumcision there was not circumcision so they have a right relationship with God. It was so that they would have an inroad to teach others. Because had you seen a Jew who was not a Christian, and he had Timothy, and they knew his mom was a Jew, and they knew he perhaps, I don't know how they would know it, but perhaps they knew he had not been circumcised, they're going to close their ears before they even listen to him. So he had that happen. It's just like later on in Acts, you have those taking a vow. And you had Paul there involved in that. And that wasn't because they were still following the Old Testament vows, the opportunity to teach. Are we seeing the distinction here, yes or no? Okay. So as we look at that, I want to add a few more passages on those two verses. I wished I would have done it when I first did the workbook. That's the trouble. You do a workbook and say, why didn't I add that? So let's go to Galatians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let's go to Galatians 2. In Galatians 2, 3, and 4. Joe, are you there tonight? Joe, Galatians 2? 2, 3, and 4, please.
Yes, sir.
And then Jerry, I want you to go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, 1 through 4. So let's first read Galatians 2, 3, and 4.
Okay. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren, unaware, brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Jesus Christ, that they might bring us into bondage.
So in other words, here he's dealing with some of those. They wanted Titus to be circumcised. Paul said what? No, this is not going to happen. Okay, Galatians 5, you want to read that, verses 1 through 4.
Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith.
Okay, so now let's stay in Galatians 5. Let's go to Galatians 5, 11 and 12. Danielle, are you there? Galatians 5, 11 and 12, please. Okay. Now, again, so you really want to discuss circumcision because the Galatian letter goes into it in great detail. They had a lot of problems with that, and they were dealing with that. That if you went to circumcision as part of the gospel of Christ, as part of salvation, you've fallen from grace. You've added something God has not added. Now, I don't think anyone has this problem. But years ago, I have someone say, well, if I have a son born to me, can I have him circumcised? Yes, that's up to you, because we're not doing it for religious purposes. We're doing it for what? Health-wise, our personal preferences on that. You know. So again, if your male child has been circumcised, you've not violated these passages unless you think that's a part of salvation. If you think that's a part of salvation, now we need to sit down and discuss. All right. Now, when we talk about the circumcision, however, let's go back to that page now, and let's look at these other passages. Noel, you want to read Romans 2, 28 and 29 for me? We're in Romans chapter 2, 28 and 29. 2:28, where it says, for he is not a Jew. I'm not sure what version you're using. Okay, so now we're gearing it from, as we look at the New Testament, from physical, actual, literal circumcision to what? The circumcision of the heart. And we get that, remember Hebrews chapter 4. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. This is the beauty part when we allow the Bible to explain itself to us. Gary, would you read Hebrews 4:12 for me, please? Now, if you were to tie that passage, and we'd go back, we're not going to go there, but you go back to Acts 2:37, it says, when they heard this, they were what? Cut or pricked to the heart. What caused the circumcision of the heart? The power of God's word as they were receptive to it. So, technically speaking, as we obeyed the gospel, we were circumcised in the heart. These are the Jews that we are speaking of. We're not talking about a fleshly Jew, but a spiritual Jew. So you had this problem with these people who were following after the physical circumcision. And then you got 3:4 all the way down to 3:6. Is Paul bragging in these passages? He's stating a fact. He's not bragging, but what he's doing, he's dealing with the Judaizers, and they're kind of using their pedigree of being Jews, causing the others and possibly the proselytes to be enamored with them. And Paul's saying, okay, if you're going to do that, then I'm more. What you say you have, I have more. Before we get into it, it was interesting because this morning as I was finishing out my workout, sitting in the steam or the dry sauna, I wish you'd lose weight doing that. That's all I would do is just sit in there. But there's a one man, a nice young, nice, he's older than me probably, man near my age, and he's studying for his doctorate degree so he can be a doctor of divinity, and we've discussed back and forth, and he has the thing that he had to focus. He had to teach on the life of Christ from the age of 12 to his adulthood, and I told him, good luck, because it's all, most all of it's speculation. He lived in favor of God and man. You have that in the scriptures, correct? But everything else is going to be what? Yeah, and it's not in the scriptures. Had God wanted it for us, would have he put it there? Well, I say that to say this. So today we got to talking again, and he's getting close. And by the way, I'm never going to call him doctor. He knows that. The thing is, I said, you have to be careful, I said, because oftentimes the religious elite get enamored with their own scholarship. I don't know how many times you've dealt with the religious elite, but that's exactly what happens. They get so enamored with their various degrees that they almost, well, they do think they're smarter than God. And I warned them about that. And then I told him the thing, and he'd never thought about this. He didn't let me finish at first, but then he gave me the opportunity. I said, listen, you got to be careful. I said, people have to be helped to misunderstand the truth. And I said, that's what oftentimes these doctors do, help you misunderstand the truth. And I wasn't making fun for his studies, but I think people get so enamored with diplomas and degrees. I had a relative say, well, I want you to talk to my preacher. He has 4 degrees. And Chuck, how many do you have? 0. None. Goose egg. But I'll be happy to discuss with him. I don't care. And I'm not trying to be arrogant. I don't care if he has 14 degrees. X2 is X2. And that's the bottom line. You want to go back to the Greek? You're going to have to misuse the Greek. When people resort to the original language on a lot of things, it's because they don't have a strong enough argument to bring it forth in the Bibles that we're using. Now, I'm not against going back to the Greek, but you see people going constantly back to the Greek or going back to the Hebrew. Who did Jesus speak to? The common man. Can most of the things he teach, can we understand it? Yeah. We can. So that's where I was telling. Now, I said all that to say this because when I saw that this morning, it reminded me of my class tonight. Paul's dealing with people who are pretty high into themselves. So let's go. We're going to go at Harkrider's explanation. So turn to page number 14. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not against people studying. But make sure it's in harmony with the truth. And I'm not saying I've got all the answers to everything. I keep on learning, even at my age now, I keep on learning. But you need to make sure that harmonizes with the truth and not harmonizes with your scholarship. And that's, I think, that's the problem sometimes people have. Am I against scholarship? Absolutely not. But we got the Word of God here. So let's look at verses, what he says here, Brother Harkrider. The first one, 4-6. Let's see. Paul, are you up to reading tonight? Why don't you read that 4-6? No, that takes the whole thing. Why don't you take the first three things?
Day, in exact compliance with the law, he was confirmed to be in covenant relationship with the stock of Israel. Israel is the name God gave to Jacob. Therefore, his direct descendants were called Israelites. To be of the stock of Israel meant that Paul was a descendant of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob. He was of the pure lineage and not a proselyte.
All right, let's take the next three, and the next three go ahead. Ruth, you looked up first. Don't look up if you don't want to read. You want to take the next three.
Of the tribe of Benjamin, together with Judah, this tribe had remained loyal to God and continued to worship at the temple when the kingdom was divided. Paul more than once acknowledged this heritage. A Hebrew of the Hebrews, he was an Orthodox Jew, having been born of Hebrew parents, trained in Jerusalem from his youth by Gamaliel, and spoke in the Hebrew language. In superlative terms, he was a Hebrew in both flesh, mind, and action. As touching the law of a Pharisee, with respect to keeping the law, he was a member of the straitest sect. Though many Pharisees were enemies of Jesus, not all were hypocrites. As a party, they were the most loyal and conservative. Paul had lived in a strict accordance with the law.
Okay, and Gary, if you got a booklet, do you want to do the last two, please? Yeah. Yeah.
Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, his loyalty and devotion to Judaism was unquestioned. Galatians 1, verses 13 and 14. He had breathed threatenings and slaughtered ignorantly in unbelief, 1 Timothy 1:13. And he had done this because he thought it was the right thing to do, Acts 26, 9 and 10. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. As judged by men, Paul had neglected no duty, having lived in accordance with all the external rules of the law. He had lived in all good conscience before God. Acts 23, 1, 24, 16.
All right. So what we have here, so he's, that's the first bell, right? No, it's not the second bell. So, he starts out with the joy. You know, this is the joy we have. He starts out after the first verse on the unity. And then the next verses, he talks about the Judaizers, and then he's facing the Judaizers. Okay, you want to brag about something, or you want to elevate yourself, whatever you have, I equal that and go beyond it. But he said all that not to say, hey, I'm the best. And he said all that means nothing in Christ. You see, I'm glad we're going to get these last two verses, because look at verse 7 and 8. He says, but what things were gained to me, I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. You want to talk about pedigree? Here's my pedigree. You want to talk about serving according to the law? Here's my example. But all that means nothing to me so that I could win Christ. Think about Paul's life when he was Saul. Did he have a more physically secure life as Saul than he did as Paul? But you know one thing? He never, ever, ever complained and looked back at with any regrets as to what he gave up. This is a lesson I try to teach others in becoming Christians. All of us in this room had to give up various things. We could go around and eat. But whatever you've given up does not equal to what you've gained. You don't have to look back with regrets and say, oh, if I own. No, you don't be like the Jews back in the Old Testament. You look forward. In fact, remember what Peter said. Let's go to that one illustration before we run out of time tonight. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 and verses 28 through 30. 28 through 30. Steph, you want to read that for me, please?
Or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come life everlasting.
So here again, and Peter wasn't trying to be arrogant. Peter said, look, because he left his work, his occupation, he left his family. So in his mind, yeah, and Jesus said, yeah, but look at what you've gained. You left this, but look at what you gained. Now, what about us? Whatever you left, let me ask you this. What have you gained? Are you better off now being a child of God than you were when you were not a child of God? And the one thing that, and I am getting cranky as I'm getting older, I'm trying to work on it. When people, and you don't see this very often anymore, but people are almost bragging what they gave up. Paul's not bragging what he gave up. He said he counts that all as what? Rubbish. To what he gained. What we have gained. Daryl, you finish it off tonight. Absolutely.
And I have two physical brothers. They would help me if I was in trouble. I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Christian brothers that I know that will help me if I'm in trouble.
Okay.
I have many homes that I would be welcomed into if something happened and I lost my home.
Very good.
The reward is not just in heaven.
No, you're exactly right. Then the point is, he did all that to offset the Judaizers who were Christians, but they still had their Jewish mindset and trying to get them back to that. So next week, we'll go on to the next page. Does that make sense as we deal with this?